judges over Israel. Now the name of the firstborn was Joel, the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and to Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He shall take your sons and appoint them for himself and for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, Go you every man unto his city. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you, God, for always being here to help us and to show us the things in your word. Thank you for a church family that loves you and honors you and lifts you up. And now tonight, Father, I pray that you'd use this portion of scripture to be a help to your people, draw us closer to you, and use us for your honor and your glory is our prayer. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Some of the saddest scripture, and I've always said this and even went as far as to say the saddest, but there is some sad scriptures in the Word of God. But one of the saddest that I go back to every time I think on this line is in Numbers chapter number 13. And I'm going to flip around a little bit, but I will be back over here to 1 Samuel in just a moment. You know, you think about the blessings of God, and I would not allow any of you in here, if I were to want a show of hands, I'd not allow any of you in here to say that God has not blessed you, because God blesses His people. And I thank God I can stand up here tonight and probably tomorrow and the next day and the next week and tell you how that God has blessed me. And God blesses His people. That's just bottom line. But when God brought those children of Israel out of Egypt, and He was taking them to the promised land, It was not only a promised land, but it was a blessing straight from God to God's people. And they got all the way over to where that they could see that promised land. They sent those spies in there and spied out the land, and they come back and said, surely this is a land that flows with milk and honey. That wasn't good enough. It's in verse number 32 in chapter 13 of Numbers. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And then the saddest part of this whole story here is when it says in verse number 1 of chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Why is that so sad, Brother Dorsey? Well, I'll tell you why it's sad. God had led His people to this promised land, a land that He had promised them and a land that He had blessed them with, and He got all the way there, and then all of a sudden they had a decision to make. They could either accept that blessing and go in and take that land, or they could do what they did, and they could decide that no way, no how can we have what God has promised us, what God has blessed us with. We can't have it. The inhabitants are too great for us. And I hope you understand what I'm trying to get at tonight. Listen, when God gives us blessings, we have a decision sometimes as to whether we keep those blessings or not. And sometimes we don't have a choice. Now, I think about Job. Job did not have a choice to keep what God had blessed him with. Listen, it was taken away from him. You and I sometimes have blessings that we have no decision, no choice about. If it's a loved one and God takes them home, listen, we don't have a choice about that. But it's not our decision. But we have got things that we can make decisions on, blessings that we can keep if we so choose. But according to Samuel chapter number 8, we'll see that these elders of the children of God have decided that what they want, what they desire, is more important than the blessings of God. And so I want to preach to you tonight on this simple thought. Don't give your blessings away. Amen. Don't you dare give your blessings away. And I thought about something here that I ordinarily don't do. But I want to mention something that's not in this portion of Scripture, but it goes right along with what I want to talk to you about tonight. First of all, I want us to see that these elders decided to give their family away. And before I go into this, I want to share with you this thought, because it doesn't say anything about the wives. It does talk about the sons and the daughters, but it doesn't say anything about the wives. And I'm assuming by that God told Samuel exactly what this king that they so desired to have over them was going to take from them, but the wives was not part of the family that he was going to take. And I want to make mention of the wives just for a moment. This is not going to cost you any extra. It doesn't mention it right here, so this is just what these wives mean to me. You see, I was married one time before, and I'm not going to go into all that, but it didn't work out. And so for 11 years, I raised my children and didn't have a wife and was content and thinking that I would never, ever remarry. But God had a different plan. And I tell you, I prayed from time to time, but I certainly didn't pray a lot because I could have been content just staying the way I was. But I did pray occasionally, and this would be my prayer. God, if it be thy will, send me a godly woman that first and foremost loves you with all of her heart and then loves my children and loves me. That was my prayer. And listen, God answered my prayer in a time that I did not expect it. You say, well, Brother Dorsey, what's the big deal about that? And how does that tie in with the message tonight? Well, listen, these wives that God sends us, and the reason that my marriage didn't work out the first time is I was out of God's will, and I married a woman that was not saved. And listen, that's unequally yoked. And so it just didn't even stand a chance. But this time around, I waited patiently on God, and He sent me who He knew that I needed. And she needed me at that time. But I thank God for Kim. She's my blessing. And I'm telling you right now, I've heard older men say such ignorant stuff as this. I need to just trade you in for two 20-year-olds. That's a pathetic joke if you've ever used it. But these women, these wives are precious, and they're a gift from God, and they're a blessing from God. And I thank God for my wife. Let this world light up all the beautiful women that it can come across, and let those dump trucks full of gold and silver be there for my taking. But I just refuse to let anything or anybody take the place of that blessing that God blessed me with. And I hope you feel the same way tonight. Listen, Proverbs has a lot to say, and we definitely won't read all of it. But I just want to read you a couple of verses. In Proverbs 31 and 10, the Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." Verse number 28 says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her." What's that got to do with the message tonight, Brother Dorsey? Well, the Bible does not say that these elders had a decision to make concerning their wives. Whoa, but listen, it just amazes me. I wonder sometimes what their decision would have been had it been their wives there. I got a feeling it wouldn't have changed any for all they was willing to give up. Why was they willing to give up so much? You heard the scriptures. They wanted to be like all the nations of the world. They wanted a king. I don't know if you ever stopped and thought about this, but it helps us to think sometimes about this stuff, to where when we face things, we'll see how they made mistakes, and maybe we won't make those same mistakes. But you know the story. God had always been over His people. Yes, He used Moses, and He used Joshua, and He used Samuel, and He used the judges. He used men to be a voice for His people. But He was still ruler and king. He was still their God. And so now things are fixing to change. You see, Samuel's boys was ungodly. Why didn't the people of God just do what they should have done and go to Samuel and say, "Hey, Samuel, you know and we know your sons are ungodly. They don't need to stand in your shoes. You need to help us to find someone who can be God's mouthpiece, and we can pray to God and seek God's will and figure out what it is that God wants. But no, they didn't do that. They had a better plan. Now you're talking about a jealous God here. God's still a jealous God in 2025. God says, there shall be no other gods before me. Don't you dare choose something or someone that you put more importance in than God. And these Israelites, these elders, which should have known better, decided, come up with a plan and decided, we want a king. We want to be like all nations. In other words, we want to be like the world. And so Samuel was very displeased with this. And he tried to talk to the Lord about it. And the Lord said, hey, it ain't you that they're turned against. It's me. And you just go ahead and tell them, though, and warn them that this is what the king is going to take from you. So for the next few moments, I want to preach on don't give your blessings away. First of all, I've already made mention of it. Samuel told them, he said, he's going to take his sons and he's going to appoint them for himself. He's going to take your family. And I'm telling you right now, when Kim and I got married, she had three sons, and I had a son and a daughter. So now I've got five children, and her sons, I'm telling you, are my sons. I'm not their dad. I'll never be able to fill the shoes of their dad, but it's out there if they want me to be. I love them that much. I'm just telling you tonight, just as God is my witness, I would die, I would lay my life down for any of my five children. I love them. And I could not imagine making the decision, making the choice to give away the blessings of your family. God blessed these families, these men, with their children and their sons and daughters. But listen, a lot of times our children, they may disappoint us somewhat. They may do things that we certainly don't agree with. But I couldn't imagine stop loving them. I couldn't imagine giving up on them. I'm telling you right now, this world may end up taking one of my children, but it's going to be with a fight from old daddy, because I'm going to be praying till the day I die for my children. Oh, listen, the world is after them. The devil's after them. And it just blows my mind. It hurts my heart that God's people would rather let a king have their family than to stick with God. Notice what they said again. He'll take your sons. He'll take your daughters. And this was a decision. This was a choice they had to make. They're hearing what's going to happen when the king gets in his position. And they get to make a decision here. And their decision was this. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. We're going to have a king regardless to whether it means giving our family up. What a terrible, terrible decision. I don't understand it. I just can't comprehend it. I tell you right now, there's nothing more important other than God, than my family, my wife and my children. And I'm telling you, y'all run a close second because I love my church family. But I'm telling you, no way, no how we should ever choose the world or anything else over our family. But then in verses 14 and 15, something else that blows my mind. You done give your family up, but watch this. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. So not only have they given their family up, but they've given, if it makes any sense, they've given their food up. Listen, this food took a lot of time to prepare these fields, these vineyards, these olive yards. Took a lot of time to get them ready and prepared and planted and harvested. I mean, it was a job. And they're just willing to give it up. I tell you, we got to have food to live. But in today's time, it ain't so much about the physical food, although we have to have it. I'm more concerned with the spiritual food, which is the Word of God. And the Bible says in Amos chapter number 8 and verse number 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Listen, today, God's people are trading in the food, the spiritual food, the Word of God, for these lies and deceptions that the world and the devil is throwing at us. You can look all over the country tonight, and churches that used to stand on this old King James Bible have veered away, have strayed away from it. And I'm telling you right now, you can do what you want to. I done come too far to change. I believe this is the inerrant, infallible, true Word of God, and I just want to keep on feeding on it. Hey, it's good for a hungry soul. It's good to be able to go in and glean from and partake of and to eat of this precious, precious Word of God. But these Israelites have given their fields, their vineyards, their olive yards up. They've given their food up. And again, if you're like me, you're probably scratching your head thinking, what kind of decisions is that? These are people that belong to the same God that we belong to, blessed the same way that we're blessed. Listen, God is there for them to help them, to guide them, to lead them. But yet, they're so willing to give away the blessings that God's blessed them with. Verse number 16. And by the way, let me just say it because I'm going to say it every time. They give their food up. They had a decision to make. They could have kept everything that God blessed them with. But here's what they said. "Nay, but we will have a king over us." Family ain't important enough. The food ain't important enough. But verse number 16, and he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men. We see that they are willing to give up their friends. Now you may say, well, these are servants, Brother Dorsey. They're not friends. Well, it was a little different back then. And it'd be different today as well. Yeah, there was slaves back in those days. But I just feel like these Israelite families who God had blessed, I feel like they had the men servants and the maid servants working side by side with them. Listen, they were planting those fields. They were harvesting those fields. The ladies was doing the cooking and the cleaning, and they wasn't mistreated. They wasn't just slaves. They were friends of these families. They had a very important part in these homes and in these families. Listen, they had a place to lodge, food and clothes. They were taken care of. That's what I believe. They were friends. And Samuel said, through the words of God, they're going to take those friends and they're going to use them the way he's going to use them the way he wants to. I'd like to just remind you tonight that a good friend is hard to come by. It's been said for many, many years now that a person could most likely count really good, dependable friends on one hand. I'd like to say that some could probably take off their shoes and count them on all hands and feet, because, listen, if we show ourselves to be friendly, we can sure enough make some good friends. And I've got friends now that I don't talk to very often, but I am 100% convinced that I could pick up the phone right now, and if I really, really needed them, they would be by my side. And you can't place no amount of money on that. To have a good, dependable, trustworthy friend that you can count on. So why in the world would you want to toss them aside? I don't understand it. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times. And I'm telling you right now, as a friend, we don't need to, and we won't, if we really worship and thank God and appreciate friendship. Listen, we won't be all receiving, and we won't be all giving, but it works both ways. And a true friend is hard to find, and we need to protect that friendship with everything that's within us. I've seen people, I don't want to be their friend anymore. They've just crossed the line. I don't want to be their friend anymore. Oh, I'm glad God don't treat us that way. Listen, I thank God for that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's put up with a lot with me, but he has never cast me aside. He's never give up on me. But yet, these elders have not only given their families away, given their food away, but now they've given their friends away. What a shame. What a shame. I don't understand it. And it's one thing not to have a choice or a decision about it. But when you can make that choice or decision and you choose to give away a blessing, I just don't understand it. But going on down to verse number 17, He will take the tenth part of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. Do you hear what he's saying? Now they're giving away their freedom. God has set them free 400 years in captivity. 400 years. And all through those years, these folks knew what God had done for the children of Israel. How that he brought them out of Egypt. How that he led them through the wilderness. God knew, listen, these people knew that God had done this. He set them free. But yet they're willing and made the decision to go back into bondage. How can you have so much faith in a king? Shouldn't you have more faith in God? Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 1 says, "Stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage." I'm telling you right now, I don't know what God saved you from or brought you out of. I was saved when I went through all my rough years. I was saved as a young boy. I don't know why that I did what I did, but I got into some mighty bad stuff for a lot of years. God brought me out from under that yoke of bondage. He set me on that solid rock, and he's been with me ever since. And I thank God for it. What a blessing. And I feel like old Peter. Will you go away also? Jesus preached that hard message, and some of the believers started walking away from him. He said, "Will you go away also?" And Peter said, "Where in the world will I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Where would I go? I don't want to end up back in that place that God brought me out of. I don't ever want to go back there. I'm ashamed of that. I wish to God I'd have never went there. Listen, that faraway country that prodigal son went to, I know exactly how hard of a place that is on us. But these Israelites were willing just to give away their freedom. I mean, ye shall be his servants. God has blessed you. God has given you servants. God has given you everything that you need in life, and now you're willing to give it away. I don't understand it. But here was their answer. They heard what was going to happen, and here was their answer. "Nay, but we will have a king over us." I don't care what you say, Samuel. I don't even care what God says. We're wanting to be just like all the other countries. And in the last thing, in verse number 18, "And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." So not only are they willing to give their family away, give their food away, give their friends away, give their freedom away, but now they're willing to give their fellowship away. I thank God for the fellowship that I have with you. You'll never know what you mean to me and my family. Y'all took us in when we needed to be took in. I'm telling you. Y'all stretched out your arms and invited us into your church family, and I thank God for it. I love the fellowship that we have here. But I'm telling you, a fellowship that I love even more than that. I love the fellowship with my wife and the good relationship that we have, nothing like it. But it does not even hold a candle to the fellowship that I have with my God. Listen, these Israelites knew something about fellowship. Listen, God was there when they were at their worst in that desert, in that dry place. God was with them. God walked with them. God talked with them. God led them. He was there for the fellowship. Eli, on the way to church tonight, said, Paul, do you think God created us to praise Him and worship Him? And I said, you better believe He did. He sure did. He loves us so much that He loves to fellowship with us. And I'm telling you tonight, I don't know what all you've gone through in your life, but I know what I've gone through. And there's been times when I was at my lowest point. I was about ready to give up on life. I was about ready to throw in the towel. And God came on the scene, and He fellowshiped with me, and He loved on me, and He got me back on my feet. He got me back to where I could appreciate life once again, appreciate what He's done for me. There's nothing like the fellowship with God. I've been to that place to where I didn't feel like my prayers got above the ceiling. But even worse than that, I've been to that place to where I could not hear that still, small voice speak to me. Oh, it's a lonely and a dry place, and I don't like that place. It's terrible not to feel the presence of God and hear that still, small voice speak to me. Amen. That's a bad place to be. Lonely, helpless, hopeless. But boy, when I get on my knees and call out to God, when I seek God's presence, when I seek to hear that still, small voice, He has never, never let me down. He's always came through. And to think that I'd be willing to give that up, I don't understand it. But these elders, these Israelites that was God's people, said this when they had to make a decision. Nay, but we will have a king over us. I don't know what else you could lose. I don't know what else you'd be willing to give up. But I tell you what, church, you better believe we have the same decisions to make. I've heard so-called Christians, it would make you wonder if they were truly saved or not, that give up on their children, that said, I don't want nothing to do with him or her anymore. And I do know what it feels like to be a little disappointed from time to time, but I could never imagine giving up, throwing that blessing from God away. I could never imagine that. And it's the same way down our list. And we make these same decisions, whether we realize it or not. But I tell you what we need to do, church. You need to sit down and you need to start naming the blessings. Amen. Write them down and guard them with everything that's in you. Don't you dare let this world, don't you dare let that old deceiver, that liar, trick you. Don't you dare give up one single blessing. God has given it to you. It's yours for the keeping, and don't you dare depart from it or with it. You'll be sorry if you do. You'll be sorry. I find it ironic that verse 20, this is the reason that they want a king over them. Not just because the other nations has them. That we also may be like all the nations, that and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Now you flip over just a few chapters and you see how that worked out for them. That king that they so desired, that they gave so much up for, would not even go out and confront a giant because he was scared. This king that you had to have that was going to fight you battles for you depended on a little shepherd boy that loved God with all his heart, that hadn't sold out, but he was true to God. And God was true to him. I'm telling you, protect those blessings. Don't you let anybody or anything take them away from you. Don't trade them in. Don't make a decision that you don't need them anymore. If God's given them to you, I guarantee they're important in your life, and they should be. And I'm done. I hope this will be a help to you, but more than that, I hope it'll be a reminder. We look down our nose, I do, look down my nose sometimes, and it is real. I don't understand why in the world that you couldn't do what God wanted you to do. Just love Him. He's shown His love to you. He's proved His love to you. But yet, when I look in the mirror, I see another one that is not appreciative of what God has done for me. But I do know one thing. God has blessed me so much. I could probably start naming and forget a lot of what He's blessed me with. And God's blessed you too. God's been good to you just like He's been good to me. And when it comes decision time, you put that family up there, way up there. Love them. Don't give up on them. The devil and his crowd wants them, but you fight for them. Pray for them. Don't you give up this Word of God. Stand on it. Listen. It's been tested ever since it was pinned down, and it stood the test. Charlie Kirk, I knew this, I told some this. Charlie Kirk got killed not for his political beliefs, but his spiritual beliefs. That's what most of the hatred is for him. It's not political. There's some political issues, but it's spiritual. And he died believing what the Word of God says. And so you and I, listen, don't you dare give up this Word. Feed off of it. It's our spiritual food. Don't give up on it. Don't give up on any of the blessings that God blessed you with. Father,